beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Daddy and Pastor Sheyo Sonibi, thank you, sir, for this opportunity, the privilege, and it's not taken for granted. All the deacons in the house and everybody, all the leaders, I welcome you and every other person, trusting God that you will bless us again. Hallelujah. I also welcome my wife. Amen. Thank you for being the help you were meant to be. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. Thank you for your mercy we have received to sit at your word. We ask this morning that you will cause your light to break forth upon us and heal our darkness. In the name of Jesus, let us make progress through the ministration of your word this morning. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. All right. A couple of months ago, the last time I was here to minister on a Sunday, I was teaching on spiritual dullness. And I remember I said that next time I have opportunity, I'll come back. And so I'm continuing that message. I hope you can still remember. Hallelujah. It may be up to a year. It's a long time ago. It's a long time. Very long time ago. All right. So, let's because of the limitation of time, I took us to that passage of scripture where, I think it was Elisha, the king. Elisha was about to die, and the king of Israel came to him. And then he told him to cast, to shoot arrows. And then he shot it, and then the prophet told him, this is the arrow of deliverance and victory. And then he said, shoot. And then the king shot 3 times and stayed. And then Elisha was like, why? Should have shot 5-6 times. And you would have been able to overcome Syria till you consume them. But now you only conquer them 3 times. And you know, and then that suggests that it's not every time that you are going to be given the whole information that you need. And then it's expected of you one way or the other to fill in the blank spaces. Hallelujah. That's the reality. The king didn't know. See, stay here. You want to... Hallelujah. My anointing is in movement. Amen. But I'll try. The anointing is in the Holy Ghost anyway. But, you know, our own temperament differs. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. All right. So, you know, and so we're expected to know how to fill in the blank spaces. And that is why we actually need to be people that are spiritually intelligent. We have to be people that are wise and discreet. So sometimes God may require us to do certain things, and then he will not tell you everything you have to do, but they will just give you an information, give you a hint, and then you're expected to. Hallelujah. But the king of Israel couldn't handle that well, and for me, that is it shows a lack somewhere. For me, it shows a deficiency somewhere. And the truth is that on our own, in ourselves, we may not be able to fill the deficiency. We still have to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. We still need to help to depend on the Holy Spirit. But in every way, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the scriptures. But you know that having the scriptures is not the end. You can't say, now I have the scripture, and then everything. No! You just have that. So even understand and walk in those scriptures, you need the help of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need him, and so we have to trust in him. But I just want to, I began to show us some of the things that cause spiritual dullness. And I remember then that I mentioned this issue of laziness and apathy towards spiritual things, that when we are lazy and we show apathy, we are unconcerned. Where there is indifference towards spiritual things, you are going to find yourself in a condition where it's difficult for you to accurately interpret divine principles. Jesus came to the Pharisees and said, "You people, you are hypocrites. Either you can discern the face of the sky. You know, you understand. When the weather is changing, you know, if you are going to work or going to school in the morning, and then you see the weather, if it's rainy season, Ojoma Pharaoh. You know you can understand that. So you know how to respond. He said, you people know how to do that. He said, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Amen. He reproved them for that. And so there is a necessity for us to be able to, you know, accurately interpret the things that are happening around us, be able to accurately get the message that God is trying to communicate to us. Otherwise, you know, we will lose out of the fullness of the blessing God wants us to have. And we will also enter into some crisis that God intends to save us from. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand that. Amen. So I want to just make progress. Let's see some of the things. Okay, I think I also mentioned the issue of earthly mindedness. And I'm not sure if I touched on the issue of false sense of prosperity. False sense of success. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 39. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 39. But of that day, you know, Jesus was saying something here, and so here he was talking about the eschatology, the end of the age and all that. And then he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, take note of that word. "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away." Revelation chapter 3, then I'll come back to that scripture, but let's read Revelation chapter 3. First sense of prosperity, first sense of success. Revelation chapter 3, let me take it from verse 17. "Because thou seest that I'm rich, and increase with goods, and I have need of nothing." Look at that. "Because you say I'm rich and increase with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Hallelujah. False sense of prosperity, false sense of success actually bring you into a place where you become spiritually insensitive. Hallelujah. He said, "You did not know that you are actually wretched." Why? Because you thought all about success is in material. Because you say, "I'm rich and increased with goods. I don't need anything." And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at their true spiritual, this is their true spiritual situation, but they are not aware of their true spiritual situation. As far as they are concerned, they are clothed. As far as they are concerned, they are rich. "Because you say I'm rich and increased with goods, and you do not know." It's a very terrible state for you to think you are something that you are not. For you to think you are who you are not. If you know this is not me, if you know I'm not there, you can try to be like that. But for you to be thinking that I'm all right, when actually you are not all right, that is a strong delusion. And it's because of false perception of prosperity. Listen to me. There is no how successful a man can be in terms of the material it does not have anything to do with spiritual prosperity. Amen. And prosperity naturally is not an indicator of spiritual progress. Hello? That a man is doing well physically does not mean that he's fine spiritually. When you are feeding your turkey, what is going to be the end of that feeding? Is what? Is slaughter. Hallelujah. So because something is becoming fat does not mean no. The Bible says that God, the children of Israel lusted. He said God gave them according to their lust. While the thing was in their midst, he killed them. Hallelujah. So it's not so. Prosperity in the natural is never a sign that people are doing well. Amen. It's never a sign. Don't be deluded. But it's good to prosper naturally. Do you understand? But you must understand that that is not the true prosperity. That is not the true success. Otherwise, you come to a point where you can't even apprehend spiritual realities. Amen. He said they were eating and drinking. They were giving in marriage. Listen, there's even a limit to which we can celebrate our success. Hello? You can't live in your earthly success. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't even live there. You can't stay there. Hallelujah. You can't stay there. No matter how, even when God has helped you to achieve something, do you get what I'm saying? You can't live in that success. When you live in that success, you become, how do I put it? You remember Joshua? Joshua had gotten victories. He had won wars. Then the Gibeonites came to him and said, "Ha, we have been working for 3 days. We are a far country, and God has permitted them. You can make covenant with countries that are far. Meanwhile, those guys are near." Joshua said, "There is no problem." Ordinarily, he would have consulted. Ordinarily, he would have asked questions. But it's sweet to be successful. But don't live there. It will take away your spiritual sensitivity. You would have made errors because before you discovered that I was not supposed to have done this. He was a successful man. Hallelujah. He was a successful man. I'm telling you the truth. It's in every, even as a preacher, you can get to a point as a preacher that if they ask you to come and preach now, let me just take my notes. Because they are fools. They are fools. You are fools. You have enough to talk about. But the only thing I want to say, but this is not what I want to tell them. This is what I want to tell them. You have just told them what you want to tell them. So we can't. So it's a very delicate place. That's why we don't live in our success. We don't live. Whatever God has helped us to achieve, we achieve and then we move on. We move on. Otherwise, even the things that God, that by the help of God you have achieved, they will become problems for you. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. They become still. Amen. So we have to be careful of having, now, you know, I've said two things now. Having four senses of prosperity and not dwelling, not tabernacling around achievement. Not tabernacling around achievement. Because the truth is that we don't even have time. We don't even have time. That's the reality. A whole lot of things are being compressed within the little time that we have. So we can't afford to even just live anyhow and just, you know, enjoy. And no, we have to move on. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's be careful of that. Now, I want to, okay, back to that. I'm particular about that. I wish I could finish this message today, but I think that's not the important thing. Let's just really see if we can. Let's go back to that Matthew chapter 24. I dealt with something last that time. I think I want to go by it again because it's very, very important. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered. They were just flexing. Be careful of flexing. Maybe I'm just going to write. Be careful of flexing. Be careful.
Is it wrong to give in marriage and do all those things? No. Paul said the time is short. Now is he that is married to be like he that is not married. You don't understand that idea. You are married, but you are like somebody who is not married. Why? Because your heart is not there. Amen. That's not where your heart is. Amen. Now, look at verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man what be. Listen. God is not going to tell anybody the day the flood will come. But he will be giving them progressive revelation, which if they have hitherto, the day the flood is going to come, they will just be where they should be. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You don't need to know the day the flood will come. You don't need, that is not your business. But what is important to you is that, he said, he didn't, he, take note, he did not say they did not know the day the flood came. He said they knew not until the flood came. Meaning that they were supposed to be knowing. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. They were supposed to be knowing up to the time of the flood. There were information that were supposed to be coming. And I remember that time, I described it this way. I said, you may, if I'm supposed to go to, take for example, when we went to Lagos, when I went to see my in-laws during the holiday, of course I've been there before. But the truth is that I don't know how to get there. So when we got to Bega, we have to put on Google Map. And we follow Google Map till we got home. Till the assistance of my father-in-law. You understand? Eventually we got home. What I'm saying in essence is that I don't need to know that. I want to know where the house is. That's not important. The important is that let me follow the directions. When I follow the directions, where am I going to arrive at? I will get home. I don't know if you understand. So it's not about, we want to know. That's why he said nobody's going to know. And the truth is that we really don't need the information because it's going to guide us. It's going to lead us step by step and in stages and progressively. And that is how we are supposed to journey. But when we live in flexing, when we relax, when we dwell and tabernacle and form empire around our achievements, the information that we ought to have known, we will lose out on them. And then when crisis comes, we'll be caught at the center of crisis. Hallelujah. Something close to that. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 34. This scripture has been my, I love this scripture. It was Pastor Ajayi that opened this scripture to me. You know, he just came and began to share from that scripture. That should have been maybe 2002 or thereabouts. And that year, that scripture, I just love the scripture. Luke 21, 34. And take it to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfacing and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you, what? Unawares. Now, you discover that it is not the intention of God that we are actually caught unawares. Amen. That's what I'm saying. We may exactly not know the cocoa time, but we are in the season. And so when the reality is coming, we just know. Not because we have been pre-informed, but because we have diligently and dutifully followed the Lord. It's also, it says, take it to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfacing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. See, one of the good things that bring people to a place where they are spiritually dull and insensitive are the things that Jesus has mentioned here. The word overcharged, don't let your heart be overcharged, it means to make dull. To drag something, to make it heavy. When you overcharge something, you load it, you make it heavy. When your phone is almost full, you discover that operations are slow because it's heavy. You have loaded, there's not so much space. So you discover that, so when your heart is not supposed to things that are not supposed to occupy your heart are the ones that are taking over your heart, the heart becomes heavy. It becomes dull. It's difficult to even believe. It's not that God is communicating certain things to you, some realities of God are coming to you, but it's difficult for you to believe. Your heart is slow. Your heart is heavy. It's dull. And what has made it dull? He said, through surfeiting, through drunkenness, through cares of this life. It is drunkenness that leads to surfeiting. What is surfeiting? You know, the word drunkenness is, see, forget about taking wine and all that. That's not, I believe Jesus was saying more than that. Paul gave us a beautiful definition of drunkenness. Pastor Shafe's young elder sister, Sister Tolu, many years back in Feka, he told us drunkenness means indulgence, undue influence. And I like that. He said, I stayed with me all the years. He said it means undue influence. It means when you allow yourself to be indulged in anything. When you don't exercise, when you lack self-control, you are finding yourself, you are getting drunk. It's not about taking wine or taking amwa or taking gouda. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's when you expose yourself overly to any kind of influence. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. He said, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The moment you allow yourself to come under the power of anything, you are already being drunk. It can be food. Amen. It can even be, it can be relaxation. It can be excitement. It can be anything. Even for those that are married, it can be sex. Amen. Because in everything, there should be moderation. So when you start going beyond moderation, you're already coming into drunkenness. You're already aligning yourself to be overly indulged. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, what is surfeiting? I saw one, while I was studying, I saw this. I wrote it down. He said surfeiting is unrestrained high spirit. Unrestrained high spirit, frivolous light-heartedness, silliness or lack of seriousness resulting from excessive taking of wine. That is, when you take too much wine, you become an unrestrained high spirit. You just be high. You just be high. But that high is good to be high. But when this your high is unrestrained, that's for Satan. That's for Satan. Some people call it headache that comes from taking too much wine. I've not gotten there. But maybe people that, I don't know, there is actually a situation like that, that when you take too much wine, you start having headache. Drunkenness leads to headache. That's a surfeiting there. You know, it also means, you know, so unrestrained high spirit. That's why Paul told us. He said, do not be drunk with wine. Wherein is what? Excess. Do not be drunk with wine. Wherein is what? Excess. You can't tame it. That's surfeiting. He said, but be filled with the spirit. You can't do an undo when you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. He said, that one is permitted. If there is any excess, it is your own. It's not the Holy Ghost. Because when we say that, there are people that have been, and they have known, it's not the Holy Ghost. That excess is their own that they are there to eat. Amen. So facing, when you have allowed yourself to be indulged, you will start misbehaving. You start doing things that you are not supposed to do. And he said these things weigh down the heart. It weighs down the heart. The heart loses its sensitivity. And it also talks about the cares of this life. Cares. Cares. How am I going to do this? What am I going to become? How am I going to be this? How am I going to be that? Cares. Amen. We have to learn to both allow God to take care of our cares and also give him time to take care of them. Some people allow God to take care of their case. They throw it to him, but they don't give him time. It's not just about casting your care upon him. You also have to give him time to take care of it. Because he may not come in your time. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Cares. Some people even set time they want to achieve this. Well, it's good, but don't let it be too, don't let it take over your heart. It's good. When I'm 25, I want to have a car. When I'm this, I want to have, when I'm 50, all my children should have graduated from school. When I'm not saying don't do that. But allow God to interrupt it. I don't know if you understand. Sir. Allow God to do what? To interrupt. So that if your first car is, if you plan to have your first car at 25, if it's coming at 40, you can say, Father, I still thank you. Hello? Because, see, they feel that that is an idol in your heart. Yes, for many people it is. So they will say, okay, we have to help you. And that's the way they can help you is to deal with that idol. So we have to be careful of cares. Don't allow anything to so overly weigh you down and trouble you. You know, that it does not... See, the truth is that it's difficult to respond to God under the burden of cares. It's difficult. We have to learn to cast our cares upon him and trust him that in his time, he will take care of it. That in his time, he's going to fix it. We cannot do without cares. That's the reality. This life, you're being in this life alone as you are already subservient to cares. You cannot do anything about the all manner of cares. Even the rich have cares. Even the wealthy have cares. Hallelujah. They have cares. But so when we allow ourselves to be overly taken by cares, it makes us dull. Our heart can't respond to God as such as you be. Because the energy you need to believe God, you have invested it on worry. The energy you need to invest in trusting God and believing God, you have expended it on being worried and being anxious. Instead of you to just throw it to God and say, Lord, I believe you're going to take care of this thing. I know you are a good father. You will fix it up for me. I let it go. I release it to you. And in your time, I will allow you. He never fails. He never fails. In fact, when God steps in, he makes it so beautiful. I was sharing last Sunday how my wife wanted to do a walk 2 years ago. And then she was frustrated and she was punished and all kinds of things happened. And for months, as in she was on that, it was really serious. You know, but when God, I just think God said, don't worry. That thing, I'm going to fix it up. And then 2 years later, God said, now you are going to have that walk. Nobody will be able to stop it. Amen. And when you finish your work, I will send you on holiday. Because she went on holiday, she left me alone to take care of the children. Anyway, BC was around. She went to enjoy. She was showing me a picture of hotel. He's well with you. Hallelujah. She just went to relax. Yes, because that last time, after the work, after they frustrated that, they gave a punishment again. So this time God said, don't worry, you have had punishment. Now, go and enjoy. They put them in a hotel, they just built. They are the first set of people using that hotel. How much did you say in the room you stayed? 100,000. My wife stayed in 100,000 naira room. Hallelujah. I wish they have given us that money. I'll just send it to my elder brother's house and collect the money. Amen. But it's good to enjoy. What I'm saying is that God has, you know, it was as if our world has fallen. Kai, you can't understand. It was as if our world has fallen. But God knows how to do it. So let's learn to cast the cares. Let's allow God to fix our worries and our anxiety. Let me not belabor that, but it is very, very important. Like I said, you can't escape having cares. One day we were told, my dad said, he wanted me to do something. I said, I don't have money. As I see something here, I said, I don't have money. He said, the boy she said, Paulo, you said, marry by. He said, Paulo, you said, marry by. Because I was still staying with my dad. Before I got married in the family, I said, well, how do you want to get married? It's five years now. I'm married with three children. They are going to school. Everybody is fine. I give him money when I have. But there was a time it was, you just can't imagine how this young man is going to get married. How will he marry by him? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I should preach, Daddy. Amen. See, don't worry about it. Don't worry. God will take care of it. He said, God will take care of it. That's the truth. God will take care of it. In fact, let me tell you the truth. He has already taken care of it. It's not that he will take care of it. He has already taken care of it. Just believe. Allow him. Release it to him. I don't know if you get it. It's always like that. I was telling, when God said I should go and, but it's good sometimes. When God said, go and be your master's, I readjusted my life. I had to leave the house when living here. I took my wife to another, my wife. When my wife got to that place, she said, I can't live here. I said, don't worry. I will fix it as much as it can be convenient for us to stay. Before we move there, at least, we were able to fix some little things. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't know God has already said, federal government will give you $600,000 for this. If I had known that, I would still stay in the house. If God told me that this program he wants to do, I'll give you $600,000 to do it. I will not even go anywhere. But it was good we left. I was counting. I would have given $900,000 to that woman. To the man, my landlady. Wherein a property somewhere is there. Even though it's not as good as that one. But why almost 1 million? Hallelujah. We give God the glory. So many distractions this morning. But are we being blessed?
Yes, sir.
So trust God is going to fix it for you. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can take one or two before time is over. Now, one of the other things that I discovered that can really make you very, very dull is habitual disobedience to the Holy Spirit. See, there are two things that grieve the Holy Ghost. There are two kinds of things that grieve the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, he said, grieve not. Can you quickly give us Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30? Ephesians 4 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When somebody is grieved, normally they withdraw. Do you understand? If my wife has said something or she has done something that I'm not happy about, she will know with the way I will, as in, she may ask me a question that I should explain. I'll just give one word answer and go. You know, she'll just say, what's wrong with you? So you will withdraw. So that's why I said, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't let him. You can't get the best from the Holy Ghost when you grieve him. And we grieve him when we sin. When we, like Ephesians 4:30, because of time, I don't want to go to details. When you read all of those, let him that soul still no more and all that, you grieve him when you sin. But even when you are not sinning, when you disobey specific instructions, you also grieve him. It may not even be a sin. Hello? It may not even be a sin. See, you may not understand that more until you really have power in your hands. Now, you remember the story of Saul the king. First, Samuel told him, wait for me. I'm coming. Wait 7 days. On the seventh day, he could not wait. He went to take on the priestly responsibility. The second time, they said, go and destroy the Amalekites. Utterly kill them. Finish them. Don't spare anything. He went there and spared some. And then, give us 1 Samuel 15:23. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23. Look at what God said there. You know, disobeying specific. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. You're on your own. Did God not say that you're on your own?
Amen.
He said, I reject you from being king, even though he was on that throne for years. But God said, I rejected him. Hey, there are people that are preaching here, and God says, we have left you since. I'm not saying here, it's not fidgeting. I mean, people standing behind pulpit and talking to people. Perhaps they have, so we have to be careful. See, it's not just about sinning. You also have to be obedient to specific instructions. We make mistakes, we fall, but let it not be habitual. I will not say that everything God has told me to do is all I've done. But I as much as possible, I strive to obey. So you don't make a disobedience to the Spirit. I mean specific instruction. Do this. Give this person this. Don't go to that place. You know, stay in this place. Move to that place. And all that. As much as lies within you, endeavor to always heed. When you are like that, you see, it sharpens you. It puts you in a position where you can pick instructions, you can understand instructions, but if you make disobedience and a habit, you discard that. You just, in fact, that's why some people will say, does God still speak to people? It's because God has rejected, he has left them. So they feel God doesn't speak to people. Because he doesn't speak to you, does not mean he doesn't speak to people. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important. Let's be careful. And it's not just even a body specific instruction. Be careful of even living an habitual life in sin. We have to talk about this issue, especially because we have young people. Sin destroys. Sin, it corrupts you. Sin, it blocks your hair. It blocks your vision. It makes you dull. It you have to be careful. Even you may fall, you may say, you may make mistakes, but don't live there. Let it not be habitual. Let it not be habitual. You will not be able to perceive God. You will not be able to get the communications of God. It will be difficult for you to interpret spiritual direction. Even when you are seeing like this, you will not see. Amen. Because sin hardens. He said, let us, how did he put it in Hebrews chapter 3 verse, so Hebrews 11, 25. What's in Hebrews 11, 25? Hebrews 11, 25, what do we have there? Okay, no. Hebrews 3, now this one is telling us that there is, you know, sin as pleasures. Sin as enjoyment. And this is how the deceit is. He couldn't just get there. He couldn't read it. Come up with got to my path. Hallelujah. That's how sin deceives. You understand, see? You have been trapped, but you're enjoying it. And then you continue. Hallelujah. You fortify record. You build 50 million house. You are living a good house. You live in, you drive the kind of cars you want. You travel as much as you. You know, when they say you should write 10 million, you change it to 100. You couldn't just get there. You couldn't ready. That is the same thing that will still kill the person. Hallelujah. Sin as pleasure. That's wherein lies the deceit. And the scripture says that lest anybody be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Listen, it is automatic. If you see a man that is living habitually in sin, a time is going to come that the person's ear will never hear reproof. Ajato ba ma son no ni gbo fere olode. Ajato ti son ni. Ele ti son no ni o se gbo. Hallelujah. He said, Hebrews 3:13. Let's look at Hebrews 3:13. All right, this time, Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of what? Of sin. Because the person has been enjoying it. So when you are telling the person, there's no life in this thing, what do you mean? There's no life there. There's life. It is that hardness that the preacher now told us in Hebrews, Proverbs 29 verse 1. Give us Proverbs 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1. You see what is? Is now manifest. It says, he that being often reproved, hardness is neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without what? Remedy. It is a hardened heart that leads to hardened neck. It's because the heart has been hardened. That's why the neck, you know why they say neck? So that the person can turn. When the neck is hardened, you can't turn the head. So when they are telling the person, this thing you are doing is wrong, it won't turn. It's not because his neck, he can't harden his neck. His heart as what has been hardened. So he's not hearing reproof. What you are saying is not, he's not perceiving it. He's dull. And that's what sin does. We have to be careful. Please. If you know that you are under the strength or power of anything, open it up. Talk to somebody about it. Amen. Talk to somebody about it. It's not only sexual sins alone. just sexual sin. Any kind of thing you know you freely do, easily do. Even if it is lies. Come and say, Pastor D, I'm a professional liar. Hey Joe, how can we, what's the solution to this thing? Help us, help me out. Don't think it's not going to affect you. That's what I'm saying. It's affecting you. It's affecting you. Just like I carry the scripture, I can't understand the Bible. Because you are, the light of God can't reach you. Even if it hits you, you won't feel it. You won't know. You won't understand. You can't perceive it. Hallelujah. Can we rise on our feet this morning? Just talk to the Lord, that the Lord will help you, that you will not become dull. He will help you to continually to be on the cutting edge. I want you to just talk to him. We can't afford to fall into that state where we cannot perceive the sayings of the Lord, when we cannot hear the Lord speaking to us, when we cannot interpret divine things. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to remain open to you. Help me to remain open to you. Let me not come to a point, a state of spiritual dullness. Heal me. And if anywhere I'm dull, bring me out. In the name of Jesus. Help me. Save me from any kind of spiritual dullness that might have set into me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me, my Father. Help me. Help me. Save me in any way. In any way I might have become dull. In any way I might have become hardened. This money. Minister healing to me. In the name of Jesus. Let my heart come alive. Let my mind open again. Let my eyes be open to see. Let my ears be open to hear. Let my heart be open to understand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lenasa kadianda la radasa prophete. Regelebo shahande grinuso prombo di ketrahasu. Zosafuna aninge dosh eprenenenosa bulinde ketendus kakranto de granduski ko travale duste mem posto ki abanda ligahate kebleizdo sosivelem efretutu suvana shibra kate edoronde kastai kelemanga doski ataya. We receive high sound this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone under the yoke of sin, let there be freedom today. Give them strength to say no and to depart and to repent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you all the glory, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.